The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
On Newstalk.
There are staff shortages all over the place. Those pressures continue. There's no doubt about it. Last week, parents in Dublin West who have children between 9 and 11 months received a letter from the HSE stating that due to unprecedented staff shortages, their child's routine developmental assessment would not be taking place. So what is a developmental assessment? It's essentially a way marker to see, is the child making progress in terms of verbal skills, another hearing as well as another part of it. These checks are known very much for picking up things that parents might miss themselves, speech delay, hearing problems and other diagnoses. Broadcast journalist Rebecca Horan, who now joins me on The Hard Shoulder, received one of these letters. I'm also going to be talking to Dr. Susan Kent, who's an Associate Professor of Nursing, Midwifery and Community and Public Health at DCU, to talk a little bit about whether it's important or how important it is to get these tests done on time. But before we do that, good evening to you, Rebecca.
Good afternoon, Emmett. How are you?
I'm very well. And you received one of these letters. Could I just get an idea for our listeners' benefit of what it said and the kind of reaction when you first saw a copy of this coming in?
I did. And just a slight correction on that. I think you mentioned somewhere about the locality of Dublin West. I'm.
You are engaged. I think, do we have Susan there? Hello, Susan.
Yeah, you do. Yes. Thanks very
Susan,
much. Thank you.
Yes, we're less concerned about where you're physically based and more what this means. I mean, these developmental assessments, I'll come to a statement from the HSE in a second where they explain what's going on. COVID, not unsurprisingly, plays some part of this. But can you just walk me through how important it is to get these done and why they were put in place all those years ago?
Yeah, well, I'm delighted, Emma, to have the opportunity to speak about the role of the public health nurse in this regard, because this is one of their critical roles, is in relation to the screening of the child health development of children at different ages in their development, both at birth, but two of the most critical sort of times, public health nurses would tell you, is the 3 month check and the 9 to 11 month check. They do other checks at 2 years and 4 years and when they go into school, but the 3 month and 9 month are some of the most critical. And yes, you're right when you mentioned that they do it for general health in relation to eyesight and audiology. Audiology is now done at newborn screening, which is great, but they still check it again at 9 months. They still review it again at 9 months to make sure that nothing has happened in the interim period to affect the child's hearing. One of the biggest checks that is done at 3 and 9 months is the hip check of the child to ensure that there's no hip dysplasia, which could end up in the child having issues with their mobility and actually walking, and requires usually some form of orthopaedic intervention. So they are critical checks that are done at 3 and 9 months for a baby. But it goes into bigger checks in relation to looking at the child's communication and their speech, their comprehension, their mobility, sleeping, and their emotional and social screening. And then there's an opportunity to speak, mostly with the mother, but sometimes it's with the dad, or it's with the granny or an uncle or an auntie that might have taken the child to the clinic to talk about health promotional issues, you know, sort of thing, and to talk about their dental care, about car safety, child safety at home, and other issues like that.
Okay.
And immunisations.
But I'll hold you for a second there, Susan, and go back to Rebecca, who's come back. Rebecca,
sure.
You got one of these letters. Just tell us what you were able to read from it.
Yes, I did. I'm in Wicklow and I had a number of pals across the country who got this letter. It just basically said, due to unprecedented staff shortages, I wouldn't be receiving a checkup for my baby, who is currently 10 months old, but I haven't had a checkup since she was born. And the checkups that I did wants to get done, exactly as was said there, like regarding the hip issue and any of those kind of things, I actually paid for in our local surgery, in the doctor's surgery. I was concerned because I have another child and she would have been seen a number of times. And it is actually hugely concerning. It's kind of seems to be an issue in this country to kind of have a forgotten generation of children, especially this kind of COVID excuse. And it's happening again now. And I just think it's a disgrace. But for me, you know, it's not as big an anxiety as a number of parents have spoken to. Developmental checks, hitting milestones, their child maybe being on the autism spectrum, dyspraxia. So it's really a minefield, and it's very concerning.
And what are you going to do now, Rebecca? Are you going to go back to the GP, go somewhere else, pay out of your own pocket, get onto the HSE
well,
and see, like, what's the plan?
you can get onto the HSE, you can push, you can ask this and that, but they refer you back to a book, a textbook that I think has been published to keep people out of these services and to get them to refer to this massive book. What if you haven't a notion about, you know, none of us are experts. We might think we're all, you know, experts as parents. We're absolutely not. None of us know exactly what's going on. So referring to a book is not going to help us if we're completely lost when it comes to developmental issues. You're talking about audiology there, hitting milestones, crawling, issues with hips. I had a friend whose child had a club foot. She never knew why her child wasn't attempting to walk. It was, you know, discovered too late. She had to pay for a paediatrician. You've got issues with, like I said, children who may not be speaking on time or hitting their, you know, autism. So then you're paying again. Now, I did push to get checked. Perhaps sometime in September, I came in. Maybe I form out first, and would that be helpful okay. for me? I mean, it's insane.
Well, maybe we could get some. Maybe we can get some advice on that. Listening to Rebecca there, Susan, she's obviously understandably frustrated. These services, just to bring listeners up to speed, are provided by public health nurses. We've got a statement from the HSE. They talk about, as I said earlier, unsurprisingly, COVID and the vaccination campaign in particular, and our surrounding services around that. Basically shunted a lot of our normal public health nurses onto the vaccination programme, which we're all very grateful, of course, but it seems that they are gradually coming back into the public health nurse area, but not quick enough to pick up the demand. Is that your sense of what's going on here?
It is, and it coincides too, after all of that long time working, people are, you know, they are catching up on their annual leave as well, which, you know, this is the time of the year that people get on it. The other thing is, too, what's different to public health nursing is that you don't tend to get agency nurses to be able to come in and be a public health nurse. It's a very specialised skill, and this is why they're very valuable. But again, nobody knows what a PHN does until they need it, which is at this time, they're experts at child health screening, you know, sort of thing. So, there is something about the value of the PHN as well, too. Like, you know, a nurse is not a nurse. You just can't replace her when she's absent. They've been cross-covering for years. They haven't had sort of, you know, they've not had the large numbers really in the workforce that has always been required. And yes, truly, they have deployed to the vaccination centres, to the immunisation. They're coming back to try and catch up now in school health as well. And they also still have to catch up on, they cover a large population, not just child health. They go right across the lifespan into people with disabilities
and Susan,
and the older person.
In terms of,
so they are trying to catch up on all of that as well.
In terms of the decisions they're making, we mentioned West Dublin. Obviously, Rebecca is from Wicklow. Do you have any sense of where they decide, you know, we're underprovided for here? Or do you think it's just, you know, a regional response, or how do they decide that some people are going to get it and others aren't? There must be some system, however chaotic it is, taking place.
The provision of public health nurses are usually based upon the population. So it's usually the numbers equate to a population. So a PHN might have a population cohort of 2,500 to 3,000 people in one geographical area. But some areas like are very densely populated, like the Wicklow and the Dublin area. So they will have more public health nurses as well. But usually, I mean, like, to be fair, like most of the time, like these particular milestones are met. But when they're passed, as Rebecca has identified, if her child passes the 3 months, she can't have a 3 month check at 10 months. No. You know what I mean? And if she passes this 9 to 11 months, and Rebecca, to be fair, has highlighted the fact that she's, you know, she's privileged and blessed enough to be able to go privately for something like that. But some of these children, obviously, by the inverse law of health, like, you know, those that sometimes need it the most can't access it, you know, sort of thing. And the likes of clubfoot, the likes of hip dysplasia and that, and the likes of the fact that social and emotional sort of screening and development, they need to be picked up very early and referred. Now, notwithstanding, Emmett, last week you had the discussion in relation to disability services and others. So there's one thing referring, but it's about knowing where you're referring to. If you can't get a referral into a disability service, you have to look for alternative routes, and that's going to the GP, which eventually gets to a paediatrician. But again, the waiting list to a paediatrician, I'm sure, is going to be extortionate now, unless you're able to go and pay privately. So there's a whole knock-on effect on not sort of investing in one area and how it actually plays out all the way right up the line from the lowest complexity in our Sláinte Shéir right up to the
And I think one of the services we can provide on this programme is get a sense of the size of the problem. So anyone who's in the same boat as Rebecca, 53106, if you've got one of these letters, we can sort of get a sense of how big the problem is out there. Obviously, the vaccination programme is going to resume very, very intensively later in the autumn, certainly post-summer. So I'm not sure how the HSE are going to balance the demands of that programme with these public health assessments. So it's going to be a difficult balancing act for them. So anyone else who has received these letters, please do let us know and we'll get a sense out there at least of how much of these appointments are actually being missed. But for the moment, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much to Rebecca. It's a very interesting letter to get. Pretty depressing if you've already missed an earlier test and then layering on top of that another one. And also Dr. Susan Kent, who is an Associate Professor of Nursing, Midwifery, Community and Public Health at DCU. And now we have to talk a little bit about
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With Nissan.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.